Hey, what's happening, monsters? Welcome to Good Vibes. We're doing another special interview this afternoon. So I already announced it earlier. We posted about it yesterday, a couple days ago, that I have the pleasure of interviewing one of the band members from Parcels. Yes, Australian electropop five-piece band composed of keyboardist Louis Swain, keyboardist, guitarist Patrick Hetherington, bassist Noah Hill, drummer Anatoly Toto Saray, and guitarist Jules Cromlin. So, oh my goodness, the lights are going crazy because we're that excited pretty much for this show to start. So without further ado, allow me to welcome Toto to the show. Welcome, Toto.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Thank you for taking the time from Thailand. You're on vacation, sir.
No. We're playing a festival tonight in Pattaya.
Oh my gosh. That's awesome. Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, I can only imagine it's going to be exciting. What's it like so far? Like experiencing Pattaya and being in Thailand. How's the vibe?
We've actually just been rehearsing for the last 2 days. And tonight is the first show of our mini kind of Asia tour. So I actually haven't seen Pattaya at all. But we're feeling good. We're sounding good. The whole crew's flown in from Germany and France and Australia. And it's like a big reunion. Yeah. So it's nice. And yeah.
That sounds exciting. And so is this like your first performance in Asia, or have you also performed in other countries in Asia? Southeast Asia, let's say.
Yeah, so we've been to Tokyo a couple times, we've been to Seoul, but this is our first time in Thailand as a band, mm-hmm. and it'll be our first time in the Philippines and Taiwan and Hong Kong.
Oh my God. And it is such a pleasure to be a part of that lineup for sure, especially with you guys performing in Wonderland next weekend. I'm just like, I am really holding on to, like, I was just waiting for the weekend, the next weekend to come sooner, just so I can hear live music again and hear Parcels live, of course, because you guys are just amazing. It was such a nice discovery when I found you guys out on my own. I was like, and then I found and I got to talk to you guys live. That's amazing. I'm excited. So for you guys, you began in Byron Bay in Australia. Now most of you, I guess, are based in Berlin. So what led to that move?
We pretty much packed up and went to Berlin while starting the band. It was like a bit of a end of high school move to Europe. Berlin was like a bit of a random choice, but yeah, as soon as we got there, it was kind of worked out for us. I wouldn't have expected to be living there almost 10 years later, but
Yeah, and so how different is the vibe from Byron Bay? Moving into Berlin, what's it like now? I know that Berlin is pretty much a melting pot. There's so many things happening there.
Yeah, I think the biggest difference would just be like heading to the city. Like Byron Bay is such a... I was just there. We were all just there in the studio for the last 6 weeks. And it's just such a small little town. Mm. Like, even though it's really changing and developing, and it will always be like a bit of a sleepy town on the East Coast. So, yeah, it was really exciting to be living in a city, and there was just things happening all the time. And Berlin is such a melting pot, and I feel like Berlin changes from year to year, or living there, it's like, all right, now I'm like interested in this part of the city, and now I'm interested in this part of the city, and kind of doesn't get old for me anyway.
Yeah, I imagine there's a lot to explore in Berlin. So, but anything when you, that's like way opposite, away from home. So are there things that you particularly miss when you think about like Byron Bay, thinking about being back home? Is there anything that you miss being back there?
The ocean, and my mom.
Oh, oh my God. I hope she's listening or watching you right now.
She's actually here. She's actually here in Thailand. Nice. Yeah, she's going to come see the show. But yeah, apart from that, I don't know. We go back a bit. Like, we sometimes work there and sometimes we tour in Australia. So I'm never away for that long.
Okay.
So I don't have any like the food is really fresh. I gotta say, the fresh produce in the supermarket is really good, as opposed to Berlin, maybe.
Okay.
Australians nail a good breakfast and coffee. Wow, there's actually a few things. But Berlin's good as well for other reasons. I don't particularly miss it.
Okay, gotcha. Well, I mean, you got time to go back home from time to time anyway. So at least there's a good interval in between that you get to go back home while you're performing, while you're with the band as well. And Parcels was formed in 2014. So I'm curious, how far back does the friendship go among the five of you? Like, did you start out as a garage band? Were you in different bands? Like, how did you all come together and form Parcels?
Yeah, we met when I was 12. And
12? Wow!
Yeah. And we played in many bands. Mm. Yeah, we've been playing music together for a long time. In different constellations as well, like just between all the members, everyone's been playing music with at least one other person since then.
Gotcha.
So... yeah, it's a really natural, it was a really natural constellation of the five of us.
Nice.
I think it was like, yeah.
That's cool. So I have to ask this. I was Googling, I was trying to kind of figure out why you named your band Parcels. So my guess here, and it's very corny, you can obviously not laugh at it, but did you name your band Parcels because you deliver the funk?
Doing my best not to laugh. No.
Okay. All right. No. Okay. No. So if I was far off, could you please explain the real reason why your band is named Parcels?
Yeah, look, you're not that far off. No, it's a bit of a random story. It's not an incredible story, but there was a sign from an old post office that said Parcels that kind of hung in the living room of Louis' place when we were forming the band.
Gotcha. And
I would say just like finding a name has never been our strong suit. Like, we were trying to find a name for a record label that we wanted to start, and again, it took like months. Like, I think it's actually something I've been thinking about recently. Like, some people are really good at just like naming things and having the confidence to keep them, you know. And I think we don't have that. Even song titles, they take a while.
Gotcha. So Parcels was just kind of like a sign in Louis' house one time while you guys were forming, or still in the early stages, I guess, of your band union, and that's how it came to be. All right, now you can use the tagline, we deliver the fun. I'm just kidding. You don't have to. Just forget I said that. In any case,
I'm happy for you to keep using it.
No, I won't. Now I'm embarrassed, but anyway.
Don't be embarrassed.
Is there a reason now? Because I look at all the song titles, and obviously if It's an easy observation. When you look at the titles, it's like one whole word, like, you know, tied up right now, something greater, I know how I feel. Like, these don't have spaces between the words. So was that just creative liberty, or is there another story there too?
There's a story there. A lot of this stuff started when the band was forming, and I'd say we don't like change in our band. Like, musically, we love to evolve, but everything else, we're not that keen on change. So there was a broken space bar on the computer, on Pat's computer. And since then have gotten new computers, but haven't changed that.
So that's the reason there's no space between the titles.
I wish I could tell you like more artistic reasons for the name of the band.
No, that's what makes it, you know, that's what makes it memorable. And it's such a cute story. It's a nice anecdote also in how your band started and you guys didn't veer away from, because now it does look like, oh, it's so sophisticated. It's like tied up right now. It's like one whole word. It's like an E.E. Cummings kind of like style of writing. So no, and it makes it memorable too. Like the way that, you know, how you guys phrase or create your song titles too, it makes it more, all the more memorable that you see it and it's like, this sounds like a Parcel song, and you find out that's right. So another thing is, I was doing research for this interview and I came across one of the Google prompts that you get when people would search Parcels. People search Parcels, I'm just letting you know. And I saw there was one question that was asked. Is Parcels Daft Punk? Now, first of all, I think that's a massive compliment for someone to Google that. But while you are a separate entity from Daft Punk, there is some connection. So could you share that with the Monsters or your fans who might not know that there could be a connection?
Yeah, we are good friends with the guys from Daft Punk. And we're in the studio with them and released a single that we produced together. Mm-hmm. It was actually even before our first EP. They were a massive inspiration at the start of, I mean, they still are for mm-hmm. sure, but at the time, again, at the time that we were starting the band, they had just dropped Random Access Memories.
Right,
and that was like one of a few records that was really, influential to starting this band for sure.
Yeah.
So it was an absolute dream to meet them and then to make music together. And
how did that happen? They approached you to produce?
They are friends with the head of our record label.
Gotcha.
Gilda is his name, from Kitsune Records, which we're not with anymore, but they were our first record label.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to a show and then they were like, yeah, we should work together.
That's awesome. How was it for you guys then? Because they were a massive inspiration, and then like, to know that these artists want to collab with you in this one song at least, like, how did that go for the band? How did the band react?
Like such a compliment. It was a long time ago. I don't really remember, but we were so stoked, and I think we learned a lot from them, like musically, but also. I don't know. They were just really humble, and you know, Daft Punk is such a big stamp on music of the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they just seemed really, just like really beautiful, nice people, and they didn't seem fazed by their legacy. They were just keen to make music. And they also had really nice ideas about how to release music and where to sit within the music industry and mm-hmm. and what might be good for us. Like, I don't think they were trying to push us in any one direction, but they were definitely like there if we had questions or I don't know. They helped us see maybe what our strengths were. And to kind of just focus on our strengths rather than try and be, I don't know. Just, I think they definitely highlighted the fact that we were a good live band
mm-hmm.
and that we should continue to play live and to record live, and that they really emphasized that that's what was different about us at that time, was like, yeah, no one's playing live anymore, and you guys are really good together. So, yeah, they've definitely. I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, no. I mean, there was a lot of takeaways for sure, and they were kind of there to guide you guys and help you, pretty much like figure out which like what you could do like as you guys were, you know, performing and, you know, releasing these albums and everything, especially from an artist like Daft Punk. That's like, of course you would hold on to the wisdom that they offer. So it's a good thing that you also mentioned that you know, they complimented you in the way that you would live record and do like live performances, because I want to talk about Live Volume 2 now, because how that came about. Well, it was from Patrick's press release, like for Live Volume 2. He mentioned that it was something like you doubled down into the dance music. Like you really decided, let's invest into this in Live Volume 2. So how did that concept come about when you finally decided, you know what, I feel like we can try this out for this album?
Yeah, that was it. It was such a specific time. It was like maybe the COVID lockdowns were getting lifted all around the world, and everyone, it seemed like everyone was just partying. Especially in Berlin, it was just like the party is back on. Mm-hmm. And the, you know, it'd been quite quiet for a year or a couple of years or whatever, and we were just I think we were all kind of celebrating, and we were all listening to a lot of dance music, which we always have, but it was more intense. And especially trance, the kind of trance sound was definitely coming through Berlin pretty hardcore.
Gotcha.
And so we're just inspired by that sound, but then definitely, you know, making it our own or adding the live element of being a band, you know. And that was then, yeah, it kind of made its way into a tour that we did, in the end of 2022, that would have been, mm-hmm. And from there, like the Live Volume 1 was, we recorded it directly after a year of touring, and because we were just like, so we had like pushed every song to its limits. Mm-hmm. And it was the same with Live Volume 2. We'd been touring the whole year, and then we said, all right, let's do one more show in a club in Paris and we'll record everything. And from there stemmed Live Volume 2.
Nice. Yeah. And it was, you rented a club. You didn't publicize, like, you know, parcels, right, when you performed at that club, if I'm not mistaken, like, so that there was no expectations of what people were going to hear and how you're going to sound like, from what I've read, at least in Patrick's press release. But how was the experience like then, you know, renting out that small club? And then there was also like helping you guys communicate with one another when it came to, I guess, improvising while you guys were on stage so that you can lengthen dance segments in between. How was that like?
So, yeah, the whole album was a bit of an ode to the club. And one of the things that we did love about club music and clubbing is that, like, especially in Berlin, you go to a club and you dance all night and you never even see the DJ. Like, the DJ is not important. Oh. I mean, the DJ is very important, but you're not looking at them. You're just, gotcha, like, with your friends or on the dance floor, like, it's not, the lights are on the people that are dancing. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And that's something that we wanted to do with that gig. We didn't want to invite everyone that was a Parcels fan because we wanted people just to kind of lose themselves and dance, mm-hmm, and not be watching us, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we advertised as C.S.Pearl, which is like an anagram of Parcels.
Oh,
and,
that's cool.
We had a couple of DJs play beforehand, and then, yeah, we just kind of came on, and it wasn't like the perfect, we weren't like people were definitely watching us, mm-hmm, but, the intention was that, like, we didn't put many lights on us. We kind of put the lights more on the dance floor. But yeah, the intention was not, the intention was like, close your eyes and listen.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure that was a pretty cool experience. I mean, here, here in the Philippines, it's like, I don't think I've ever heard of like that concept. Like, no, that you can't see the DJ. The lights are on, the people on the dance floor. That's a new concept. Someone should probably do that. I'm plugging that right now for someone to put one up, put up a club like that. But anyway.
I mean, yeah. Well, what's amazing about Berlin, about the clubbing scene there, is that, yeah, it's not like you can't see the DJ, and some people, I'm sure, are watching them, but there's no photos allowed in a lot of the clubs, and so there's not this like social media aspect of like, oh, like filming the DJ like jumping around or anything. It's more just like there's a lot of people that are just selecting good music and not performing. And they're performing through the music. Right. And so it's like, it'd be super boring to watch someone do that for 4 hours. So then you kind of just turn around and look at the other people on the dance floor and smile. And that's such a beautiful experience that's not focused on, you know, what the DJ is doing. It's more just like listening to what they're doing.
Right, right. That would be the opposite, I guess, of what would happen when you guys come here for Wonderland, though, because you guys are going to be on stage. Everyone will be looking at you. But that's,
I mean, yeah, completely different.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting,
like,
though. Yeah, exciting.
I mean, we love being on stage and performing. Like, it's. I'm talking about a completely different thing. But that was Live Volume 2. And our live show is definitely... we're definitely going to give it our all.
Yeah, of course. And for all the fans who are here in Manila, we can't wait to see you guys here perform in Wonderland. So is it going to be your first time performing in the Philippines or be in Manila?
First time in the whole of the Philippines.
Wow, that's exciting. So what are you looking forward to most, apart from performing and, you know, being alongside, you know, the lineup that we have for Wonderland too? It's like, is there anything you're looking forward to that you want to try maybe while you're here in Manila in the Philippines? Anything you've heard of?
I'm a big foodie, so I'll be eating.
Oh my goodness. You will... You make sure you got an empty stomach when you arrive here. Like, don't eat for a couple of
days. Yeah, exactly.
For sure. Okay.
Other than that, like, I don't know much about the Philippines, but I'm quite aware of, like, the connection between the Philippines and the U.S. I feel like when we were growing up, there was quite a few, like, kind of Filipino pop stars or like musical, like that through the US. And so, yeah, I don't know. I have like a really positive feeling when I think about people from the Philippines, even though I don't know so many. I feel like there's quite a lively culture. I don't know. I imagine it's going to be a great place to perform. Am I right, or am I just making it?
You're absolutely right. Like, we will sing along with you if needed. We will dance. We will cheer. We will have the best time for sure. And you're going to feel the energy when you guys perform here. You will know it. You will feel it once you guys are performing during Wonderland. And so any artists that you're looking forward to watching perform also on Wonderland, like looking to meet probably backstage?
I don't even know who's playing. I know Jack Johnson is playing after us.
Yep.
And
yep.
I've been listening to Jack Johnson since I was a kid, so I'm
nice.
Psyched to... But who else is playing? Who are you looking forward to?
There's you guys. There's Jack Johnson, Novo Amor, Cosmos Midnight. You also have Thundercat for the next day, PJ Morton, Walters, Grant Perez, DWTA, Party Pace. It's just like, it's a pretty exciting lineup for sure. And even if like never heard of them or something, it's like you'll never know what you're going to hear when you're at a fest, right? And that's like one of the most exciting things. So
yeah, totally.
I also would like to ask, like, are we going to hear some of these improvisations or something that we've heard from Live Volume 2 when you guys are performing in Wonderland?
Yeah, definitely. We love improvising on stage. And so I can't tell you exactly what will happen, but I think for this set, we're kind of doing a bit of a greatest hits of the band. So we're going to do some things from the first record, some from Live Volume 1, some from the second record, some from Live Volume 2. It's a bit of a melting pot this time because I think we haven't been to Asia in so long that that it's, we kind of, yeah, we've got a few albums since the last time we were here. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to be playing one of your popular songs right now, which is Tied Up Right Now, and I absolutely love it. Could you tell us a little bit of, like, background, and maybe in terms of maybe there's inspiration behind it, story behind how it all was arranged?
Tied Up Right Now came from Jules. He kind of had a verse, and we literally just went into the studio and we had 3 days and we recorded it and wrote the chorus in the studio, and it was probably the most natural song that ever came about. And it's funny because it's the one that's been streamed the most and it's quite popular, and yeah, it felt like such a, like, I think we had it for a few months and we weren't even that excited about it before releasing it. We were like, yeah, like it's pretty good. And then we were like, oh, we need to release something. Oh yeah, let's put it out. Like, we really didn't expect the love and praise that it has. So I'm excited that you like it.
Yeah, for sure. It's such a unique sound, and like, you can't forget it once you hear it the first time. So for all the monsters who are listening, you could go ahead and invite them to listen to Live Volume 2. You can invite them also to check you guys out in Wonderland and to listen to Tied Up Right Now. Go ahead. Say hi to your fans, Toto.
Hey, guys. Toto here. Yeah, enjoy the song and hope to see you at the festival. Super psyched.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Toto, for the time that you spent here on Good Vibes with me today. I hope you have the rest of your day and have a great day, actually. And we'll see you next week in Wonderland. I'll be in the crowd and I'll be like, Toto, it's me. Like, I interviewed you. All right. Well, so nice to meet you. And for all the monsters who are watching live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch, we are ending the stream, but we still got more music for you guys on radio. So for now, keep it locked on the Monsters.